earlier shiurim we discussed the machlokas rishonim regarding malacha shino tzrich legufa. Pointed out the Rashi and Dav Tzadi Gimel Beis that malacha shino tzrich legufa is defined as a malacha siluk de birtsono lo hayabala. And the kashas that Tosas raises against the shita of Rashi, and Tosas the shita and Dav Tzadi Dalam and Aleph that know when it comes to all malacha Shabbos, one must ask why it was done in the Mishkan. If you do it for any other purpose, that is considered to be malacha shino tzrich legufa. And the Tosas of Yitzhak and Dav Tzadi Dalam Beis regarding the case of Netilas Sipranayim. In that instance, Tosos writes that can only be a malacha shina tzrich legufa. And even though the Gemara tells us divrei akol chai, if it cannot literally mean divrei akol, but rather only according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, that certainly is not true. And we discussed many different aspects of that machlokes Rashi and Tosos. The Tosos and Bechoros and Dav Chavavah Med Aleph, and we discussed the difficulty within Rashi Shita itself. Can it be that Rashi limits malacha shina tzrich legufa only to that definition itself of malacha siluk dibritzono lo hayobolo? A difficulty we had is the following: the sugya of ayin gimel beis, the case of chofer guma. That certainly fits Tosos' definition, but it doesn't seem to correspond to what Rashi tells us. How is chofer guma considered to be a malacha siluk of dibritzono lo hayobolo? And it's true, we mentioned the Rashi and Beitza and Avches that comments that the reason chofer guma is potter is because of mekalkel. And perhaps one could be medayik in Rashi that it's purely mekalkel. It's not considered to be malacha shina tzrich legufa. And perhaps that's why Rashi deliberately omits that which is posh pshat in the Gemara, the p'tura malacha shina tzrich legufa, in the case of chofer guma, because it is not considered to be a malacha siluk. But the difficulty we had that we discussed in earlier shurim was the following. There are so many gemaras that do not seem to fit that limited definition of malacha shina tzrich legufa. The sugi that we dealt with at length and daf kufemud beis, the case of korea bechamaso, or a case of korea meso. We'll see the sugi and daf lamed aleph regarding soser. All of those examples do not seem to be malacha siluk dibritzon ola yabala. So as a result, we were forced to somehow expand Rashi's definition of malach shina tzrich legufa, and we have another Rashi, the Rashi and Daf Kuf Vav Med Aleph, that discusses this as well. Because there we saw that Rashi links the concept of mekalkel with that of a malacha she'eno tzrich legufa. The machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, whether kol ha-mekalkel in turn categorically, or do we assume chutz mechov l'mavir? The Gemara suggested Kuf Vav Med Aleph that according to Rabbi Yehuda, kol ha-mekalkel in turin period. According to Rabbi Shimon, that is the brisa of chutz mechovel umavir. Rashi explained the following: what is this machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? As we saw, Rashi writes, this is the machlokas of malacha shino tzrich legufa. Why is that true? Because Rashi writes, in these particular cases, true, it's considered to be malacha makalkel eitzel hamalacha atzma. Inherently, the malacha is considered to be malachas kilkul. But Rashi writes, it's misakein who Eitzel Acherim. But there could be some toeles. Although that toeles is certainly a davar tzaddi, it's only secondary, it's only ancillary. That, Rashi writes, is malacha shino tzrich legufa. So if you're dealing with a case of chov mavel, inherently the primary focus of the malacha is something which is destructive. The most you could envision is there a case where a person needs the blood or needs the afer, and therefore there's some secondary purpose. That is what Rashi writes is malacha shina tzrich legufa. Malacha tzrich legufa means that there's a primary, direct, necessary result, a totsach yuvis. Mashen came when it comes to other cases where that's not true, that is malacha shina tzrich legufa. So there are two clear examples. One is what Rashi writes regarding hotzos hameis or kichos al haner. In those cases where it's purely preventative, birtsono lo hayabalo, that certainly is not considered to be a malacha tzrich legufa. But malacha shino tzrich legufa is not limited to that definition. That is an example of a category which is malacha shino tzrich legufa, namely something which is birtsono lo hayabalo. But even in a case where there is a positive result, if you can demonstrate that that is only lashon harashi, it is misakein hu eitzel acherim, it is a secondary result, then that remains a malacha shino tzrich legufa as well. And that resolved all the difficulties that we had within Rashi Shita. Rashi did not mean to limit the definition of malacha shina tzrich legufa to birtsono lo hayabalo, But rather, if the result is only a secondary one, so in that instance, that also is considered to be malacha shena tzrich l'guf as well. So according to Tosfos Hashit and Daf Tzadi Aleph, simply, how is it done in Mishkan? If you do it in that fashion, malacha tzrich l'gufa. According to Rashi, that's not true. Removal of that which is undesirable, that which is preventative, or that which is only a secondary result, all of that is considered to be a malacha shena tzrich l'gufa. This machlokis is very relevant, right, as an introduction to the Malach of Borer, because of the comment of the Balamor on Daf Lamed Zayin Webeis in the Daf Be'arif. The Balamor writes the following chiddush, that when it comes to all Malachi Shabbos, one could envision the Malach as being one which is clearly Tzrich Lagufa. If it's Eino Tzrich Lagufa, that is the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shema, because all of them Kulon Haya Behen Tzorech Gufan. Everyone in Lamates Malachos, one could envision a malacha which is being done litzorech gufa. However, Balamor writes his great chiddush, chutz min hazore v'haborer, with the exception of zore and borer. After all, zore means that a person separates the motz, the husk, from the gorin, from the kernel. Borer is a case where a person separates the tsuros, the pebbles, min hakri. The Balamor writes, in that case, shouldn't that be a malacha shena tzrich l'gufa? Using one of Rashi's definitions, right? That which is a malacha siluk, birtsono lo hayabolo, removing that which is undesirable. Isn't that classically a malacha shena tzrich l'gufa? So the Balamor writes, absolutely yes. All things being equal, we would have assumed that the malacha borer should indeed be a malacha shena tzrich l'gufa. However, the Balamor says, Vizehu ikar malachtan. But that cannot be, after all, that is the very definition of the malacha, of borer, lidchos hamotz v'hatsuros. So normally speaking, if malacha is envisioned a constructive purpose, doing that which is maleches siluk, birtson lahayobolo, removing of that which is undesirable, that is the malach shenot tzrich l'gufa, with the exception of borer and zora, where that is the essence of the malacha. That's the chiddush of the Balamor and Daf Zafn on Zayin Ubeis and Daf Be'hariv. I would have argued that you couldn't be chayiv for the case of Borer, according to Rabbi Shimon. Malacha shino tzrich l'gufa. The Balamor writes this is a noted exception. Right, in the broader scheme, just as we discussed in an earlier shiurim, that there are certain cases that Tosfos pointed out that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you are potter unless it's tzrich l'gufa, because there the tzorech is considered to be an inherent part of the malach itself. Here the opposite chiddush of the Balamor, that there are certain cases where everyone would agree you're chayiv, even though it sounds as though it's a malach shenot tzrich l'gufa, the case of zora and the case of borer. That's the chiddush of the Balamor. And this is what the Melchamos addresses, right? The Ramban addresses in the chiddushim and daf kuf vav amar aleph in that sugya. Is that really true, that removal of that which is undesirable, maleches siluk, is always considered to be a malacha shenot tzrich l'gufa? The Ramban begins with the following. What about when it comes to bris mila? After all, vaday malacha tzrich l'gufihi, certainly it's a malacha tzrich l'gufa, even though one is removing that which is undesirable, the arla. Or what about the case, the Ramban writes, this is against that tosis, hano totsi parnav b'kli. The Gemara says in Daf Tzedaldim Beis, the divrei al kol chayiv. Aren't you removing that which is undesirable? Or if a person engages in gozes, v'chein svamo, shu chayiv yishum tol de gozes. After all, you don't need the tziparnayim that are cut, you don't need the hair which is shorn, and nonetheless, this certainly is considered to be a malacha hatzrich l'gufa. Not as Tosus writes that netilas tziparnayim is malach shenot tzrich l'gufa, that certainly is a malacha hatzrich l'gufa, just as cutting one's hair, cutting one's nails, and bris mila. And then the Ramban adds the following, v'chein hazore v'haborer. And the same the Ramban writes is true when it comes to zore and borer. That is the malacha hatzrich l'gufa. Not that this categorically is malacha shino tzrich l'gufa, but hi hanosenes, that's the definition of borer. So clearly this is an exception to the rule. The Ramban writes this is not an exception at all. Sometimes removal of that which is undesirable is a malacha hatzrich l'gufa, such as hanotot tziparnav, such as brismila, such as cases of gozes. And so too when it comes to Zore and Borer. That's a fundamental machlokes. Balamor writes that this should be labeled as malach shino tzrich lagufa, and the Ramban writes in the Chiddushin this certainly is not true. If you look later in the Chiddushin Ramban, the Ramban writes the following: after all, in the case of notel saro, in a case where a person is cutting hair, or siparno, a person is cutting nails, the Ramban writes the following: that is considered to be lisaken hagufo uliyafo satzmo. That results in meleches tikkun. That is not a melacha she'eno tzrich lagufa. In a case, for example, of kichasal haner, true, you're removing that which is undesirable, but there is no inherent tikkun. All you're doing is maintaining the status quo. By extinguishing the flame, there's no meleches tikkun. Even in a case of hotzos hameis, removal of that which is undesirable, but no meleches tikkun. That is a far cry from cases of bris milah, netilas siparnayim, a case of tisbores, a case of zora and bora, were true. One is removing that which is undesirable, but that is a means to effect an end of tikkun haguf. And in such a case, if it's tikkun haguf, tikkun hakri, in such an instance, that is considered to be a malacha hatzricha lagufa. Good? The Ramban, in discussing this issue, as we mentioned, also gives us examples, zora and bora, which perhaps leads to the following fundamental machlokes. What then is the definition of borer? Is borer merely removal of psoles, independent of whether, in fact, the outcome is tikkun hakri, or should one argue that's not true? Of course, borer is removal of psoles, but that is the maisa hamalacha. However, what is its result, its effect? Tikkun hakri. Just like netilas siparnayim, the effect is tikkun haguf. The same thing when it comes to bris milah. Same thing when it comes to gozes. That is true of borer and zora as well. Is the meleches borer, is it merely hasaras hapsoles, or is it tikkun haochel? Perhaps to a measure, this is part of the machlokes between the Ramban and the Balamor. The Balamor is explicit. The Malachi is removal of psoles. That's it. And the Ramban, in his argument, equates the cases of Borer and Zora with the cases of Mila Natila Sepernaim. In that context, the Ramban writes that that is considered to be Lisaken Gufo Uliafo Satsmo. So perhaps Uha Dinami, when it comes to Malacha Borer, is there any indication that this indeed should be true? This great Chiddush, that the Malacha Borer is not merely removal of psoles, but rather is considered to be tikkun ha'ochel. If you look in the Egli Tal, in the very beginning of the Malach of Zoreh, the Egli Tal refers you to Yerushalmi here in our Perek, in Klal Gadol, Perek Zayin, in Halacha Beis. Yerushalmi writes the following incredible Chiddush: Amar Rabbi Yudan, Yeshuhu Borer Tzurus Kol Hayom Ve'eno Mishayiv. It's possible for a person to remove psoles for the entire duration of Shabbos, ve'eno mischayiv, without being chayiv for violating the melacha of borer. That's a very great chiddush. That's the Yerushalmi. How is that possible? Very simply, you have a huge kri. There is tefuah grain which is mixed in with pebbles with the tzuros, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of pebbles that are mixed in. So you'll spend hours removing tzuros. But if it doesn't result in tikkun hakri, so look, when I started, so I had thousands of tzuros, and now I'm left, I have tefuah which is mixed in with 1,000 pebbles. That's tikkun hakri? Certainly not. That's the chiddush Yerushalmi. Yeshuhu borer tzuros kol hayom ve'eno mischayim. In a nutshell, what is that chiddush Yerushalmi? That the definition of borer is tikkun ha'ochel, and that must result in a tikkun legamrei. That the ochel, which up until now, in the case of Yerushalmi, could not be used, now is fit to be used. That tikkun ochel is the melacha of borer. And enochinami, you can remove tzoles, but if it doesn't result in the tikkun ochel, that is not considered to be the melacha of borer at all. There is a comment in the Chiddushei Haran, in the end of the Masechta, Kuf Mem Heimud Beis, Divrei Maskal Hasam, doesn't quote the Yerushalmi, but mentions a similar chiddush. The Mishnah a little bit earlier, Shabbos Kuf Mem Gimel Beis discusses the following: Chalos Dvash, a honeycomb, Shiriskan Me Erev Shabbos, which is crushed on Erev Shabbos. And the Yatsa Me Atzman, and the honey oozes out by itself on Shabbos. So here the Chachamim say Asurin, that honey cannot be used. What are we afraid of? Rashi writes it's a Gzeira Drabanan, Shema Yischot Lechatchila. If you're going to utilize that which oozes out by itself on Shabbos, we're afraid that it will be osi l'nei schita. The Mishnah says that's the sheet of the Chachamim of Tanakama, but Rabbi Eliezer Matin. Rabbi Eliezer, it's not true. Look, the whole malacha occurred miatzma, and therefore it's mutter. And there's no concern of Shema Yischot. The Gemara now on Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis quotes the following braisa. Zeisim va'anavim shiriskan me erev Shabbos. So in that case, the same machlokas between the Tanakama, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara is bothered. What is the chiddush that brisa? After all, it's an explicit the Mishnah. The Mishnah records the machlokas. Is there any additional chiddush in brisa that's not found? So Abayi says yes. There is an added chiddush in this brisa, zeisim va'anavim, which is not true of the case of the Mishnah, which is the honeycomb case, the chalos dvash. Good. Abayi says the following, that imim asnisin, if it was only based on the Mishnah, the Dvash, so maybe only in that case does Rabbi Eliezer assume that it's mutter. Why is that true? Because meikara uchla, v'hocha uchla. It was uchel before, and it's uchel now. It was Dvash before, and it's Dvash now. So therefore, when the Dvash simply oozes out, it doesn't undergo a fundamental change at all. And therefore, just going from dvash to dvash, one could argue, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's why there's no concern of schita at all. Avalacha Abayi says, but here we're dealing with zeisim va'anavim, meikar ochla. You're starting out with a solid, with an ochel. Zeisim va'anavim. Ulebesof mashke. Now you end up with juice of the grape or with oil. So in such a case, emelo, maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that that's aser. Kamash malan no. Rabbi Eliezer is matter not only in the case of Chalos Dvash, but even in a case of Zeisim Va'anavim as well. That's the Gemara. So the Mishnah tells us the fundamental machlokes, and the Brice adds the Chiddush that Hua Dinami in the case of Zeisim Va'anavim. So Chiddush Yaran, Kuf Mem Hei Mevei, Zermas Chalosam, writes the following Chiddush. Maybe one would think in the case of Dvash, that's when Rabbi Eliezer says that it's mutter. Why? Because there's no Issa, Daraisa. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer says. You don't have to make Gzeiros Rabbanan. There's no possibility of an Issa D'Araisa. So the Rav just adds the following comment. You're right. There's no Issa D'Araisa in terms of the Schita problem because nothing changed its form. Dvash to Dvash. Meikara Uchla uvasof Uchla. But the Rav adds the following Chiddush. Umishum Borer Leka. The Rav is bothered by the following. Still couldn't there be an Issa D'Araisa of Borer? No? After all, if one separates the dvash from the honeycomb, isn't that a problem of borer? You're going to tell me that the reason Rabbi Eliezer is matter because there's no possibility of ever violating an issa d'araisa? You're right. You're not going to involve this sort of schita because meikara uchla v'ocha uchla. But isn't there a potential problem of borer if you are separating the honey from its source? And therefore, still, it could be asli de daraisa. Good. So the Ran writes, no, mishum borer leka. Why? Da afilu sachit luhu biyadayim. Because even if you will actively separate the dvash from its source, lo nafik dvash mine legamre. You won't be able to make a complete separation. That's the chiddush of the Ran. You won't be able to entirely separate. Wow. Now that means that when you have a taruvos of shnei minim or ochlem solos, the entire separation is the definition of borer. Here that cannot occur. You'll be able to partially separate the dvash from the chalos dvash, but it won't result in a full separation, a tikkun legamre, and therefore there's no problem of borer as well. Right? That chedush eron is like, you show me? That borer is not just simply removal of solas, but rather full tikkun ha'ochel, and that requires nafik minei legamrei. That's the chiddush of that Ran, Kuf Mem Hei, Amud Beis. This concept of the Yerushalmi, Tikkun HaOchel, is explicitly found in the Or Zeruah as well. Or Zeruah is found in Chelek Beis and Siman Nun Tes, where the Zeruah explicitly quotes this Chiddush of the Yerushalmi. This seems to be a fundamental issue, as we mentioned, whether Borer is removal of psoles, whether it's considered to be Tikkun HaOchel. To jump ahead for a moment, right, perhaps a simple enough gemina could be the following. What is the shear of Borer? The shear is considered to be a kagrogres. Menchas Chinuch raises the following subject. Menchas Chinuch is found, again, in this whole discussion of Melacha Shabbos, in the very end of the Melacha of Zar, the very last few lines. Menchas Chinuch raises the following. The shear of Borer is a kagrogres. A kagrogres of what? Very unclear. Menchas Chinuch doesn't quote Mar Makomos, but is it a kagrogres in combination of ochel and psoles? Or do you assume that's not true? Menchas Chinuch writes simply based on svara that it's mistaber to assume that the shear is in terms of the ochel. The ochel. That means that after the removal of the psoles, a kagrogres of ochel remains. After all, kagrogres usually is a shear in terms of ochel. Whenever you have something, ma'isachil is a kazayis, cheftu shel ochel is kagrogres. So therefore, the Menchas Chinuch writes mistaber to assume that kevan de ba'ochel havichoshu kagrogres. So therefore, ha'ochel ba'atzmo tzarech liyos kagrogres. An interesting chiddush. Menchas Chinuch doesn't quote other makoros, but simply that when we say a kagrogres, we mean a kagrogres of ochel. But this is not at all simple. If you look, for example, in the Yeshivas Yaakov writes in Arachayim Shin Yotes, that's the simen, in Hilchos Shabbos of Borer, that no, the kagrogres is the combination of the ochel and the psoles biyachad. If you start out with the kagrogres of ochel and psoles, and you separate out, then you're considered to be chayim. If you look in the Frankel Rambam, the Rambam discusses the Melacha of Borer, Periches Alechi Yedaleh. The Rambam mentions the Shir as a Kagrogres. And the Frankel Rambam in the back, they printed from Iksav Yad, something which is called the Pirish Kadmon Mimitzrayim. One of the Kadmonim, unsure who it is, but that's found newly printed. This suffix is explicit, right, in this Pirish Kadmon Mimitzrayim. He writes Vitzarachi and he discusses the case of Mishamer, we had in the Gemara of Kuflamet Ches. Right, when it comes to Mishamer, that you're separating out the wine from its sediment. There, the Pirish Kadmon Mitzrayim is explicitly Vitzarachi im zeh hashir, if the shir kagrogres is lishmarim, is this the psoles, the sediment, olamashke? Or is it considered to be a shir in terms of the ochel? That's even a third possibility, that the shir is psoles. Menchas Chinuch writes, he thinks the shir is ochel. The Yeshivas Yaakov writes, the shir is in combination. And here the Pirish Kadmon Mitzrayim raises the suffix, is the shir either the psoles, or is it considered to be the ochel? Right, we'll have to discuss more, but perhaps one could argue that that's part of our essential suffix. What is the definition of Borer? If one argues according to Yerusham, Yesh Borer Kol Yom Vidim Ischayim, because Borer must result in Tikkun ochel, one could argue, very mistaber, right? As the Menchas Chinuch writes, that the shir should be measured in terms of the ochel that remains. That's critical. If you assume that no, that's not the case, against the Yerushalmi, removal of psoles independent of any tikkun hakri, maybe one could argue, as the Pirish Kadmon Mitzrayim writes, that the shir is in terms of psoles. That's the malacha, removal of psoles. The assumption of the Balamor, this should be a malacha shenatzrich l'gufa. Removal of psoles. Lechesiluk. Ritzon Elohei Abono. Even though I've mentioned isolated Mar Makomos, the Chiddushi Haran, the Zeruah, it's a very interesting Ha'ara that the other Rishonim do not quote this Rishonim. It's such a glaring omission. Yerushalmi tells us such a great Kiddush, Yesh Borer Kol Hayom Ve'eno Mishayim. Bora requires full tikkun ha'ochel, and you don't find it anywhere. Not only not in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam doesn't mention, and Rashi and Tosfos don't refer you to this Chiddush of Yerushalmi at all. Why is that? Why is it that the Rishonim only make this Chiddush of Yerushalmi? Whenever that happens, one could argue, look, that if it's a Yerushalmi, and there's no counter force, good, you should pass like the Yerushalmi. If something indeed will be a machlokes bavi in the Yerushalmi, so then you understand it very well that we will defer, we'll pass like the bavli against the sheet of the Yerushalmi. So perhaps one could argue that it must be that this issue, this chiddush of the Yerushalmi, yesh bara kol hayom vein ha-mischayim, perhaps it's a machlokes bavi in the Yerushalmi, and therefore the Rishonim will naturally assume it's a shitas bavli against that of the Yerushalmi. Of course, the difficulty is the following. So now you have to come up with the bavli. Now, so where is the Gemara against this Yerushalmi? That we should argue that, no, we're going to, right, negate this Yerushalmi lahalacha, because after all, the shitas bavli is against this great chiddush of tikkun ha'olchem. So if you look in Eglei Tal, the Melach of Zoreh, and in the Tshuvas Rabbi Yekiv Eiger in Simen Chav, they point out the following chiddush. An innocent comment of our Gemara that you saw on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We have Lamates Melachos. They include Zore Borer Marakev. The Gemara asks a simple kasha. Hainu Zore, Hainu Borer, Hainu Marakev. Aren't these all the same halacha? Zore, Bore, Merake? Why do we argue these are three independent of a malachos? And Eino Chinami, if a person then violates each one of them, even Behelem Echad, he's chayev three different chataos. Shouldn't this all be the same av? What is the difference between Zore, Bore, Merake? Rashi emphasizes two differences. In the Mishnah, Dafayin Gimel Menalev, Rashi writes the following. Zora utilizes the Ruach, Rashi writes. And Borer is biyadav. Merakeid is binafa. The tool by which you separate is different. In Zora bar Merakeid, is it the wind, is it your hand, or is it the sifter? Rashi and Daf Ayin Heimadbeis stresses a different distinction. Zora is bikashin, to separate the kernel from the husk. Borer is that later stage, separating the grains, the kernels, from the tzuros, from the pebbles that lie on the ground. And merakeid is the separation of sifting within the flour itself, the impurities found within the flour. One is bekoshin, one is betzuros, one is bekemach. And hainu borer, hainu zor, hainu merakeid. The Gemara answers that no. That kol milsa david b'mishkan, ach agav dika the domilei, choshev lo. You're right. If it wasn't for the model of the Mishkan, I would have said that this should all be one malacha. But since they were found, they were done independently in the Mishkan, Zora bar Merakeid are independent malachos. We saw that earlier in the very opening shiur, the Tosfos Daf Mem Tesma Beis, where Tosfos says everyone must agree that Mishkan serves a critical role for Malacha Shabbos, because otherwise Zora bar Merakeid should be a single malacha, if not for the fact that it was done independently in Mishkan. So Mishkan certainly must be a basis of Malacha Shabbos, even if you assume you can derive Lamites from some other source. Maleches, Malachta, Malacha, good? So the following Ha'arba, Vikivegar Negleitam. Zoret. That's the initial separation of Ochlim Solas. Using the Ruach to separate the kernel from the kashin, from its husk. Let me ask you, after Zoreh, does that result in Tikkun Ochel? So now the kernels drop to the ground, you scoop them up, now you have a combination of kernels and tzuros, and pebbles. How can you be chayev? How can you be chayev for Zoreh? Zoreh did not result in Tikkun Ochel. That's a stage, that's a shlav of Borer. But that certainly is not complete separation. So that Eglei Tal, Rabbi Kivega, right? When you see the Bavli is against the Yerushalmi, you're chayav for Zoreh. Zore is not tikkun legamre, so you're going to argue Zore is a partial separation of themselves, and Bora requires full tikkun alchel. No, the Bavli assumes what is true of Zore is true of Bora. That removal of psoles, even if it doesn't result in tikkun alchel, as a person who just engaged in Zore and did not yet reach the next stage of Bora. If this is true, Hainu Zora, Hainu Barhara Marake. So now let's revisit the Yerushalmi. So what does the Yerushalmi hold? What does the Yerushalmi do with Zora? You mean to say the Yerushalmi requires full tikkun olcha? That means the Chetz Yisrael la'achar hamalacha, after Zora, after Bora, now that can be used? That's not true. After the stage of Zora, it doesn't result in tikkun olcha. So how can that be? So a fascinating Yerushalmi l'shitosei. The Yerushalmi has a different definition of Zore. Zore is not what the Bavli writes at all. The Yerushalmi here in our perek, Zayin Beis, says the following chiddush: Rokek v'frichaso haruach. A person spits in the wind, right? And the wind scatters his phlegm. Yerushalmi writes the following chiddush: Chayiv mishum zore. You're chayiv midaraisa. Rokak v'chaso haruach, chayiv mishum zore. You're chayiv for zore. Wow. What do you mean you're chayiv mishum zore? There's shnei minim. There's ochel imsoles. And you have separated one from another? Of course not. It's all min echad. There's no ochel, there's no psoles. There's no separation of one min from a second. How in the world can it be? Rakak v'bichos ha'ruach is chayiv mishum zore. It must be the Yerushalmi has a completely different definition of zore. What is the malach of zore according to the Yerushalmi? Scattering. Zore has nothing at all to do with bore. Scattering something in the wind, right, is chayiv mishum zore. That's the chiddush of the Yerushalmi. That's a very great chiddush. That's our gears in the Yerushalmi. If that's true, now so far this is all the shitasei. The Yerushalmi assumes that the malach of borer, separation of olchem psoles, has to be complete. Tikkun olchem. How can that be? What about the malach of zore? Zore is not separating at all. Zore simply is scattering. According to the Yerushalmi, you could never ask that kasha. Haina zora, hainu bore. And you could not give a teretz of komo sidika mishkan afakav de damile. What do you mean? They're completely different malachos entirely. But the Bavli that asks the kasha, haina zora, hainu bore, is assuming there are different stages of separation. If that's true, the Bavli does not result in tikkun olcha at all. A stage of bore. That means that the malach is removal of psoles. Not necessarily at all. Resulting in tikkun olcha. There are other ways of interpreting this Yerushalmi against Poshup Shat. Poshup Shat is like the Gleitara, it's like Rabbi Kiveger, simply. If you look in Bir Halacha, the Bir Halacha in Shin Yates quotes the Alfei Menashe. It writes the following Chiddush, but you'll hear it, it's not Poshup Shat in Yerushalmi at all. What happens if Rakak the Fichas Aruach? A person is standing in a rishus, let's say in a rishus arabim, and he spits, right? And the phlegm is carried by the wind. The Alfei Menashe writes a chiddush, but the Mishabura writes shuunachon. He thinks this is a good pshat in Yerushalmi. He's chayev for mavre daramas b'rishus arabim. He's chayev for transporting, for carrying the phlegm. What's the kasha? But I didn't do that. If Ifrichaso haruach, the wind is what carried. What's the answer? Zore. Right? That's to give you some of a comment. Absamach. The Gemara says, isn't that a grama? You didn't do anything. No, the wind is what is separating. What's the answer? right? Malachas Masheva Sasur Torah. The fact that it's done al yidei haruach, but if that was the intent, that's not a p'tur. That's a chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Ber Halach, in the name of Alfei Menashe, the Yerushalmi does not mean to assume that you're chayiv mishum zore. It means zore yochiach. Zore is the indicator that teaches you that you could be chayiv for such a case. The Ruach HaShulchan and Shin Yotes suggest a different gears in the Yerushalmi, that chayiv mishum zorek, not zore, zorek. You're tossing something. You throw something, it'll be chayiv. Mishum hotzar, mavnaras b'shus harabim, rachnasa. The same thing is true if rakach v'yichas haruach. But as Rabbi Kibenger writes again, bo shubshat nirushami, chayiv mishum zora means this great chiddush that there's a different definition of zora entirely. Rabbi Kibenger in Simen Chaf in the Chubas writes the following. I was walking, Rabbi Kibega writes, in the chatzar of the shul. And all of a sudden I see a person opens up a window and shofech maim uatim. That means throws water out into the chatzar. So Rabbi Kibega says, he stopped for a moment and asked himself, is that mutter? Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? What he just saw? No. There was no element of chutzah that was involved. It was a chutzah, mureves. But is there a problem of zoreh? Because Rabbi Kibeger writes, what immediately comes to mind, right, is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi writes that rakach v'bichas rach is chay mishum zoreh. If a person scatters, a person takes a bucket of water and throws the water out, scatters it, perhaps you should be chayiv Mishum Zore. And interestingly, this is what troubles Rabbi Kibeger, this Yerushalmi is quoted the halacha. Now the Rama in Shin Yotes in Siv Yud Zayin quotes this Yerushalmi. Rakach v'chas haruach chayim Mishum Zore. So that's how Rabbi Kibeger begins. Rabbi Kibeger continues. It's true, the Ramah quotes this, but it's unusual, it's not found in the Rif, not found in the Rambam, not found in the Smag, in the Rush, in the Tur. Why is that true? So, that's Rabbi Kibeger develops the beautiful Chiddush, the Sugya Didan Poli. It's against the Bavli. Against what Bavli? Number one, Hainu Zora. We just mentioned. Number two, a Chiddush Rabbi Kibeger writes, it's against that Gemara Bava Kama Dav Samach. That's the Gemara we saw earlier, no? The Gemara says the following. What's the halacha of Libo V'Lipsa HaRuach? A person starts a fire, but the fire is ignited through the wind. Are you Chayim Mishum Eish, or is that called the Gram B'Nizak? The Sugya we discussed earlier. The Gemara says, why should that be called a case of Grama? No? After all, don't you see from Zore that even though Ruach Misayato, nonetheless, that is called Maisa Adam, that's not called Grama? That's where the Gemara answered that no Meleches Machsheves Aser Torah. That was one of our very critical Marmakomos, that their Meleches Machsheves can operate L'chumra, not just L'kula. Your chayiv on Shabbos, even though b'chol Torah kula, is considered to be a grama. So Rabbi Kibeger just simply writes from the shakl of the Tari that Gemara also seems against the Yerushalmi. No? Let's take the case of Nezikin. The normal model is a person damages biyadayim. Right? Now the question is, if you damage al yedei haruach, is that called grama or is that called a maisa? What's the parallel? The parallel then is the normal way of separating Ochlim Soles is to do so biyad. What happens if you do so al yedei haruach? Good. So Rabbi Kibeger writes, the Gemara seems to indicate that Zor is a form of separation, and a normal separation is biyadayim, but if you do it al yedei haruach, that's also called Melech Shabbos. That's also called a Maisadim. Hu hadinami. Normally, hezek is biyadayim. If it's done ayyadi aruach, you should also be chayiv. The answer is malachas machshavas asatan. Rabbi Kveger writes, if you're going to argue as the Rishalmi does, what's even the havamina of equating nizikin to zoreh? If zoreh means scattering, so then ruach is part of the definition of the malacha. The assumption of the Bavli is the following. The derech ha-malacha is ayyadei maisa, the suffix is ayyadei haruach. If you're going to tell me the malacha of zoreh is scattering, throwing something to the wind and letting it scatter, so the parallel is not exact. Well, of course you're chayim mishum zoreh. Forget about malachas machsheves. That's the malacha. But anything that should be done biyadayim has to be done biyadayim. The Gemara is looking for a model that if something is done biyadayim, of course you're chayiv, and you're even chayiv if it's done ayyadei aruach. So if you hold it haynu zoreh, haynu borer, very good. No? If you're borer biyadayim, of course you're chayiv. The chiddush is the maisa brera does not only have to be biyadayim. What is true of biyadayim is even true of aruach. Now the parallel, what is true of hezek is not only true biyadayim, even true of aruach. Well, wait, not necessarily. Right? Maybe only on Shabbos ruach is relevant because machas machshavas asur Torah, but not true when it comes to nizikin. Rabbi Gerig points out this is a more subtle ra, you know, that that's not a parallel at all according to the Yerushalmi. Of course, zoreh zayidei aruach. That's what scattering is. You throw something into the wind and it should scatter. What does that have to do with eish? There's no model that something that should be done, biyadayim, can also be done, ayyadei haruach. So Rabbi Kveger writes, he thinks first, haynu zoreh, and furthermore, that sugi bava kam and asamach, aren't those clear indicators that there's a machlokes bavli Yerushalmi? And Rabbi Kveger quotes the Balamor in the very beginning of Maseches Pesachim. Balamor writes the following chiddush. Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. You have chametz, which is left over. Normally, you burn the chametz, which is left over. What do you do with the chametz, which is left over? Erev Pesach chal b'Shabbos. The Balamor writes, chametz shenishar achar achilaso, mefazer v'zor l'ruach. Throw it, scatter it in the wind. You know what the Magen Avram writes? The Magen Avram writes, in Hilchos Pesach, tov mem vav, sifkotin veiz. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're chayiv mishum zoreh, you shall me. Balamor assumes, obviously, that's not true. Balamor assumes it's not true at all. According to our scheme, so very good. Right, the Balamor assumes machlokas bavin yershami. The Balamor the Shita say that assumes that borer should be malach shein tzrich lagufa, because the malach is not tikkun ochel at all. The malach is just simply removal of psoles, and you're chayiv for a stage removal of psoles because haynu zoreh haynu borer, meaning that there is no malacha of scattering. The malach is simply one of separating ochel and psoles, and therefore the Balamor writes, you have chametz which remains, even if it's Shabbos, no problem. Mefazer v'zor l'orach. An interesting chiddush. What about according to the Rama? The Rama quotes, right, this chiddush of the Yerushalmi. So apparently the Rama was chayish with the Yerushalmi. The possibility that Zor is considered to be that which is indeed scattering. Rabbi Kveger moves on to the following issue, however. Can you equate the Rama's case, the Yerushalmi's case, with his case? The case of the Yerushalmi, Rakak v'Pichas HaRuach, a person spits. Does that mean one is not allowed to just scatter water? See, Rabbi Kiver gets involved with the following issue. We'll have to discuss this at length as well. Maybe one could argue that the Chumr the Rama, to be Chayish the Yerushalmi, is only in some cases, not in other cases. What is that? So Rabbi Kveger gets involved with a fundamental issue, Gedulei Karka. Gedulei Karka. which Malachi Shabbos do we assume apply to everything, even non-Gudulei Karka? Which Malachos of Shabbos do we assume are limited to Gudulei Karka? The discussion is only found when it comes to two Malachos explicitly in the Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Ayin Hayim and Aleph is the Machlokes Tanaim, Ravid and Chachamim. Hatzad Chilazon Vahapotza. Person captures the Chilazon, squeezes it, right, in order to extract the liquid, to utilize the purpose of Chelis. Hatzad Chilazon Vahapotza. So the Chacham Seir Chayiv once. Right, your Chayiv for Tzeda. Good. Rabbi Yehuda says that no. You're chayiv twice. You're chayiv for disha as well, because extracting the liquid from the chilazon. What about netilas neshama? That was the gemara that you saw earlier about psikresha of the nechale. No, the gemara says no. The person who extracts desires that the liquid will be pure, and therefore he desires the chilazon will remain alive. And therefore, if the chilazon happens to die, that's mamish something which is lonechale lagamre. You're not going to be chayiv for that. But the machlokas, Rabbi Nachum, whether you're chayiv for disha. Rabbi says, of course you are. And that's where the chamism, no, that's not true. Ein disha ela b'gudulei karka. Ein disha ela b'gudulei karka. That's explicit in the Gemara. Machlokas, Rabbi Nachum, whether disha is limited to the karka or not. And interesting there, it's machlokas tanaim. Machlokas tanaim. The Gemara earlier that you saw, Dafayin Gimel, has the machlokas when it comes to me'amer. The case of Kanef Milcham and Alchasa. A person is mining salt from the dish that has salt residue. Is he chayiv for ma'amer? That's the machlokas Abayi and Rava. That's where Abayi says, Ein ma'amer ela b'gudulei karka. Those are two places that you have it in the Gemara. The two important haras. Number one is you only find it in the Gemara, this machlok is a gli karka, in these two cases. Disha and ma'amer. And even a further very important har, the Gemara never links them. No? You would have expected the Gemara to say that this machlok is abayin rabba, machlok is amoraim, parallels the machlok is tanaim of Rabbi and the Chachamim. The Gemara never links them at all. As though what you hold regarding Disha is not necessarily fully relevant to what you hold regarding Ma'amer. That's also very important Kiddush. If this was all the same question, the same issue, the Gemara should have said that Lema Ketanai or Kiditanya, and let the Gemara quote this Braisa between Rabbi and the Chachamim regarding Tzad Chilos and Papa'otza. We'll have to discuss this the next year, but a very important Hara. The Gemara never links the Machlokas Tan, the Machlokas Amaraim. Rabbi Kibega refers you to the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is found in Simen Nun Vav. We'll discuss at length. That's already Machlokas Rishonim. The Trumas Hadeshen writes, Ein Tochein Ela B'Gudulei Karka. Tochein only applies to Gudulei Karka. The Yireim is against that. So Summer Machlokas Tanayim, next step Machlokas Amarayim, Tochein is a Machlokas Rishonim. Rabbi Kibega writes a very great Chiddush. Rabbi Kibega writes that, look, if when it comes to Disha, Ein Disha Gudulei Karka, and so too when it comes to Amir, and so too when it comes to Tochein, Hu Hadinami, Ulefize Yesh Lomar, Hachinami, Ein Zoreb Ela Gudulei Karka. Temehecha Teisi L'chalik Bazeh. That's Rabbi Kibega writes. A Chiddush. Same thing applies to Zora also. Even Zora only applies to Gudulei Karka. Wow. That was very great Chiddush. So if that's true, that's Rabbi Kibega's assumption now. Zora is only limited to Gudulei Karka. Let's get back to that case of the Yerushalmi. Rakak v'frichoso haruach. Yerchai mishim Zora. Chiddush number one, Yerchai mishim Zora. Zora is scattering. Not a form of Borer. Chiddush number two, how does this fit in with the Gudulei Karka issue? So Rabbi Gevir has two possibilities. One possibility is this is only Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda maintains Yesh Disha Shaloba Dubai Karaka. Hu Hadin, that's true when it comes to Zohar as well. Or possibility number two, Rabbi Kevega writes, that Adam Ubehema, men, animals, live off of the ground, or nourished off of the ground, maybe Dinam Kigdulei Karka. Maybe when it comes to Melech Shabbos, Adam Ubehema is called Gdulei Karka. After all, the Rambam Shita, we discussed this earlier as well. The Gemara is explicit that chovel, making a chavala, making a wound, is forbidden on Shabbos, no? Bris mila, it's a malacha daraisa. Mila ba'an zadoche Shabbos, but mila shlo bezman, it's in the daraisa. Chavala is forbidden in our Torah. What malacha is it? The Gemara never spells out explicitly. What malacha? So he pointed out that great chiddush, not that Rambam peraches malacha zayin, malacha Shabbos. The Rambam writes that chovel, it's a tolt of dosh. Or the Rambam writes cholev, milking a cow. What malach is that? The Rambam writes milking is mefarek, which is a tolt of dosh. You have that in the Tosas and Dav and Gimel Beis. Doesn't have so much to do with our sugya of Ayin Gimel, but the Gemara uses the word mefarek. Now, so Tosas discuss at length. What is mefarek? Now, so Tosas refers you to the Gemara later in Shabbos. Of Kuf Mem Dal Mabez, Tosus assumes that Cholev is Mefarek, which is a Tol Dav Dash. And then Tosus starts discussing, wait a second, but Ein Disha B'Karka, the Shitas Chachamim. So that's where Tosus gets involved with the discussion, the Tudeus, as to whether Behema or Adam is considered to be B'Dulei Karka, whether it's not. If Disha is explicitly only B'Dulei Karka, and cholev is a malach of dash, so then you have to assume a behemah is called gdulei karka. And according to the Rambam, that even chaval is disha, adam of behemah is considered to be gdulei karka. Rabbi Kivega writes, maybe that's part of this chumra, the Rama. Rabbi Kivera gets involved with the following detail, though. In the Siman of Boreh Shinyates, this Rama quotes the Yerushalmi. So that's a twofold chiddush, the definition of Zoreh, and the fact that Adam is dino kegedulei karka when it comes to Melech Shabbos. A little bit later, Shin Chaf Aleph, the Siman of Tochein, there the Rama doesn't say this. The Rama writes that when it comes to Tochein, that Chiddush, the Chumash Edeshin, Tochein is only B'gdulei Karka. Here the Rama writes that Adam Ubehema is not called B'gdulei Karka. Slicing meat, is that a problem of Tochein? Do we argue that Basar is not B'gdulei Karka? Chopping eggs, is eggs considered to be B'gdulei Karka? Torn at Chumash Edeshin, that ain't Tochein al B'gdulei Karka. So Rav Kivera points out somewhat of a difficulty, you know? On the one hand, what is true of these malachas shall also be true of Zoreh. In Shin Yates, the Rama quotes the Yerushalmi, assuming that Zoreh, which is limited to Gdulei Karka, includes Adam. And when it comes to Tochein, the Rama writes, you're not chayish for this possibility. We assume that Adam Behem is not called Gdulei Karka. That's Rabbi Kveger's difficulty. Rabbi Kveger answers, you're right. This is not fully consistent. These are all considerations in the malacha. The reason the Rama is mekel when it comes to Tochein is because of several factors. Number one is the possibility that Adam Avim is not Gdulei Karka. Number two is a further concept we'll have to discuss, something which is called Ein Tchina Ba'ochlin. Maybe Tochein doesn't apply to Ochel. We'll have to talk about that. So here the Rama is just listing this as a consideration as a Tziruf Hashitas. But when it comes to the case of Zoreh, the Rama is chayish that perhaps Anu Abim is considered a Gdulei Karka. Therefore, Rabbi Kvega writes, in the case that I saw, right, where the water is being scattered, water is not good to the karka. So therefore, the chumra of the Rama would not even apply. Because you need, A, the definition of the Yerushalmi, B, Gedulei Karka, and the Chumra of the Ramah is only in dealing with Gedulei Karka as well. Ramah was chayish for the Shitas HaRambam. That Arabim is considered to be Gedulei Karka. In Tochen, when, as we'll see, there are several kulas, one does not have to be chayish. If that's true, Rivera points out, one could distinguish between the Yerushalmi and even the case that he saw, the one of Ma'im. According to Bavli, it's no problem. According to Yerushalmi, it's only limited to Gedulei Karka. Then Rabbi Kvega just writes in the last paragraph that a couple more considerations. That number one, maybe it's not a psik ratio. Certainly it's Dover Shein Miskavim, that one is going to scatter the water. And if indeed it is a psik ratio, right, it's a psik ratio of Delon Echale. His intent, the chor, is not to scatter the water. He just wanted to get the water out of his house to put into the chatzer. So, is it a Roshini Miskaven or is it a Psik Reishi? If it's a Psik Reishi, which is indeed Lo Nechale. So he writes, in order to assume that this thing that I saw, Rabbi Kvega writes, is Asur, you have to assume such Tziruf, Yerushalmi's definition, and then the Gedulei Karka issue, and you have to assume it's a Psik Reishi, but at best it's a Psik Reishi Lo Nechale, which if not Mutal Chatchi is Nesed Rabbanon. So therefore, Rabbi Kvega writes, right, the Ramah was only chayish for the exact case in the Yerushalmi, where there's a possibility it is Gedulei Karka, and the case that he saw over the water, it's not. For our purposes, in terms of the Malach of Barer, right, a critical difference in definition, right, whether it's simply removal of psolas or whether it's indeed tikkun ha'ochel. Is there any possible way of resolving the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? So if you look in the Avri Ezri, it's in the fifth Madura, right, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perches Halacha Yir Aleph, Rav Shach suggests the following Chiddush. The way Rabbi Kvega describes it, Mital describes it, these are two, right, exclusive Shitas, Machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. Is there any way that one can perhaps argue that's not true? After all, right? The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach, we assumed, was Chayishu Yerushalmi, one who is Zorach Chametz L'Ruach. The Ramah does indeed quote the Yerushalmi L'Halacha. So Shach gives the following example. Well, it's important for many other aspects of Shabbos as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Zayin Halacha Vav discusses the Malacha of Bonin. And the Rambam gives us toldos of bonin. One told of the Rambam writes is migabin, a person who makes, who layers cheese. That's a told of bonin. That's the sugi in Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Hei. Tosus even writes an unbelievable chiddush. Tosus says if layering cheese is called bone, that means that you could envision bone as malachas alfa nefesh. And the Gemara Beis and Daf Yud Beis Amav has a principle of mitoch. Mitoch shut the tzorach uchinam ishalot tzorach. Malachas alfa nefesh is mutter not only in that exact form, but even if it's the tzorach yantif in general. So Tosus puts this together. It's a Tosus, no? Sadi Haman Aleph and Shabbos, Dermask of Harode. It's unbelievable, no? That layering cheese is bone, that means bone is Melchas Ochon Nefesh, then your principle mitoch. That should mean that you're allowed to build on Yantiv, build a house on Yantiv, as long as it's the Tzarach Yom Ktsas. Because once you label as Melchas Ochon Nefesh, apply the principle mitoch. Pretty unbelievable, no? Tosus writes, maybe. Maybe v'yeshlamar asr midrabbana davi uvde dechol. Yeah, building a house is asr miyantav because it's uvde dechol and isr drabbana. That's one teretz and tos. It's pretty unbelievable, no? Because the Gemara has a case. It has a case of bona, which can be applied to food. Very great chiddush, no? You want to define what's melechus ochel nefesh. You look at a toldah, right? You don't define whether something is or is not melechus in terms of the av melecha. The fact that there's a toldah that can include, that is sufficient to label the melechus melechus ochel nefesh. Unbelievable, Chiddush HaTosfos. No? And then to apply the principle of mitoch. Any melacha that you can find on the level of toldah, a hechatimtz that applies to olcha, you can learn the principle of mitoch. Very, very, very Chiddush. No? But the fact is, right, Megambein, the Gemara says, layering cheese, right, is a toldah bona. Why is that true? Because the Rambam writes, when you take individual parts and you form them into a solid whole, that's bona. You take bricks and you build a wall. Right? To render it gufecha, the Rambam says, that's bone. So an unusual example. You take the particles of the cheese, the curd, the whey, and you put them together. Right now you have a solid mass of cheese. That's a toldo bone. Another toldo bone. The Rambam writes, right, Melchus Shabbos in Perek Yud Halacha Gimel, Ha'osa ohel kavua, a person who makes a structure of a tent, an ohel kavua, that's a tolda of bone. Tolda of bone. So Shaptas writes simply, what's the av and what's the tolda? Making an ohel kavua is only a tolda. Layering cheese is a tolda. What do you need for the av? What do you need for the tolda? So Shap writes the following chiddush. Interesting yisod, the Rambam sheet in general. The av malach is building a mishkan. The av malach has two conditions. Two conditions. Condition number one is mechaber chilek chilek. You join individual pieces to form a whole. Number two, binyan. You build a structure. You build a mishkan. You build a structure. That's the av malach. Chelek, chelek, binyan. What's the next step? Either or is the tolda. If you can demonstrate that an av has, right, two characteristics. One or the other is sufficient to label it as a tolda. So in the case of Megabin Gvina, you're not dealing with binyan, but it's similar to the av in the sense that mechaber chelek chelek leguf echad. That's enough to render as a tolda. A tent is the opposite. In a case of a tent, it's not that you're taking individual boards and bricks and you're making it one whole. You're creating a structure, a binyan, but it is not created in that fashion of mechaber chelek chelek. Right? You just take a large tent and you spread it out, and now you've made an ohel. Spreading, right, of the canopy is very different than mechaber chelek chelek leguf echad. Why is that a tolda? That's because it shares character two, not A. It's not mechaber chelek chelek. That's without melacha of binyan. So that's the chiddush that Rashach points out by model. That if you can demonstrate that the av has two of those requirements, right, one or two is sufficient to be a tolda. How does that help us? So he writes, perhaps that's the chiddush. What is Zora? The av of Zora is separating ochel and psolus al yedei haruach. Zora has two different elements in terms of its av malacha. One is separation of psolus and ochel. That's the av of Zora, the husk from the kernel. Number two is the method that piru, that separation is done al yedei haruach. It is being scattered through the wind. The av malacha requires both. But using that model of bona, perhaps the following chiddush. Either one is sufficient to be a tolda. So in Rakak, Befrichaso HaRuach, You don't have the psolas ochel, but you do have the second consideration, hafrada ayidei haruach, scattering, and that is considered to be sufficient. That's his chiddush. Avnach requires both. Either or is considered to be a tolda. What do you gain by doing this? If that's true, you can mesh the Bavi and the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi writes, Rakaf Yerchas Ruach is chayev mishum zore. It's a told of zore. It's a told of zore. Yerushalmi does not say this is the av malacha. You're chayev mishum zore as a told of zore. Rabbi Kiveger assumes that means the Yerushalmi does not envision Zora at all as being a form of separating Ochlam Soles. That's against the Bavli. Hainu Zora, no, not necessarily. The Av Malacha is both separating Ochlam Soles, Ayidei HaRuach. That's the Av Malacha. But the Tolda is any period Ayidei HaRuach is considered to be sufficient. So if that's true, you could understand the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. When the Yerushalmi writes Yerchayev, that's as a tolda. When the Bavli asks the Kasha, Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, that's not on tolda, that's on the Av Malacha. The Av Malacha of Zora is separating Ochlam Soles. The Av Malacha of Borer is separating Ochlam Soles. Isn't that the same Malacha? Why do you count them separately? Good, one's Ayidei HaRuach, one is Biyad, one is Bekli. Why are they counted as three different Avos? Isn't that similar to the case of Zorei, Notei, Mavrich, and Markiv? The answer is that no. Kol Hechadiku Mishkan Damilei. The Kasha was on the Av Malacha level. No? How come it's a different Av? Yerushalmi is dealing with the case of Tolda. Well, that's what Rav Shach writes, that perhaps one could understand that the Bavli and Yerushalmi are in full agreement in this regard. Interesting Chiddush. Boshim Shad is mentioned. Now this is what the Gleital, sorry, gave us in the fundamental machlokes, and this then becomes the Yerushalmi l'shitase, Yesh Baruch Kol Avir Mitzchayiv, right, an essential machlokes in terms of removal of psolas, in terms of tikkun ochel. What we'll start discussing tomorrow is the following we touched on today, right, that's the issue of gedulei karka when it comes to Melech HaShabbos. We mentioned a few cases. Which Melechos of Shabbos to record Gedulei Karka not, and what is the definition of Gedulei Karka? Is there one definition of Chol Torah Kula? Are there several different definitions? Then we'll start going through again the Gemara, the simple opening line of the Braisa, Hayilafun of Mini Ochlin. Right, take a look again at the Tosos here, Hayilafun of Shnei Mini Ochlin, the Chiddush that you don't necessarily require objective Ochel and Psolas. Right? Take a look at the Tosas carefully. Take a look at the Rambams in the Sugi as well. The Bir Halach in Simin Shin Yotes. The Ramaschul Maniach points out that there's a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and Tosas as far as Borer, right, based on this opening line, Hailafana Mini Ochlim, right, this Tosas, Hailafana, against the Shitas Rambam. So tomorrow we'll discuss again Gedulei Karka, and then we'll start to discuss the Sugi itself, the definition of Borer. Yo, da, Mincha.